No doubt there have been many times when you've been out and about and thought, I wish that dog owner would look after their dog a little better than he or she is. They can be annoying sometimes. Dogs are lovely. People just love dogs. And I'm one of them. Don't own a dog, but I do love them. There are some people who just need a bit of advice on how to look after their dog who may appear to be a bit of a dimwit. Kathy Capellas-McLeod is a dog behaviour and training expert. Kathy, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Alan. Hi, everyone.
Kathy, now, believe it, it'd be true, you know, many times you've been out to, I wish the people would just look after their dog a bit better than they are and keep it under control.
Definitely, and I think the latter is more the case. Just keep it under control, because that's just been a big one for so many dog owners for so many years and continues to be. So hence the term dimwits, because, you know, we sort of take a lighthearted term on it, but when you see the repeated behaviours constantly at off-lead dog parks where people simply have no control over their dog, it's really a worry for a lot of people, including other dog owners and people who, unlike yourself, you said you don't have a dog, but you love dogs.
Sure.
There's people that are allowed to use the park that actually don't like dogs, and I don't think, and this is coming from another dog lover myself,
yeah.
This is a case of some people shouldn't be subjected to other people's dogs jumping all over them.
Quite true. Look, you know, we often see, you don't have, you do, of course you have trains in Perth. You know, we often see people bringing their dogs onto trains, and look, sometimes they can be lovable, just sit down there and they're under control of their owner. Sometimes they can be a bit of a pest and want to wander all over the carriage. So when it comes to the training of a dog, should it incorporate absolutely everything, like, you know, when they're on a train or when they're in the park? Should it incorporate a whole raft of things?
Are you allowed to have dogs on trains in the eastern states?
Yes, we are, yes.
Oh, aren't you lucky? We're a bit behind on that one. As far as I know, we're not allowed to, but there you go.
Yep.
Gee, that would be good. I think we're getting as far as some cafes that we're allowed to have dogs at, so we're getting there, but we're sort of slow behind the eastern states from the sounds of it. I think the basic need of having control is what's going to really promote responsible dog ownership, and we're probably going to be able to see dogs in places where perhaps, you know, they aren't now. But if there's going to be continued misbehaviour, and
yes,
it's probably the misbehaviour of the human, because the dogs are just being dogs, especially if they're gregarious and they want to interact with the person, but they don't want to dishevel somebody in their work clothes on the train especially. So we need to have some manners.
Quite true. Look, I'm just thinking about the breeds of dogs that seem to have not been around. I was thinking to myself just the other day, when did I last see an Afghan hound? I don't think I've seen one for years and years and years, or a Great Dane.
Yeah, look,
where
I
have they gone to?
For many years, and I think the Afghan that was the only time I saw an Afghan beautifully groomed in
yes.
a show ring. But as far as in suburbia, as a pet, you know, pet, I can't say it's one of the more common breeds that I do see around.
That's right. Yeah, I seem to remember, like perhaps 20 or 30 years ago, there were quite a number of Afghan hounds and also Great Danes, but they seem to have disappeared. Perhaps they're not part of the big breeding process these days.
Yeah, I think it's not so much. I certainly do see the odd Great Dane, and they're not for everybody. They're an absolutely gorgeous breed, and they're gentle giants. But, you know, you need to have good control of those guys too, only because of their strength. And so, and there's obviously a size disparity with most people that have a Great Dane.
Yeah.
But beautiful breeds, and it's good to see these different breeds out and about too. And both of those breeds, the Great Danes and the Afghans, are ever so regal looking, aren't they? Especially the Afghans with their beautifully groomed coat when you see them in the show ring. But there's popular breeds, and we see a lot more of those. You know, the Golden Retrievers are always up there in the labs, Border Collies, the Oodles, the many Oodles that we get.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there are plenty of those around. And I'm thinking about things like the Doberman Pinschers, the Dobermans, and also the, what's the other one? The same colours but a different breed. I've forgotten the name of them. But you know, you don't see so many Dobermans around these days either.
No, but I'll tell you what I do like to see. I saw one the other day and it had a tail, and I must say that was really lovely.
Yes.
So I'm old school. I like seeing tails on dogs, and I like seeing appendages knocked off if they don't need to be. Namely, we're talking about tails. So it's really actually lovely to see a Doberman and the other breeds that,
yes.
you know, have usually had their tails lopped off.
Tails.
But it's just good to see them just poll, and you can just get so much more of the dog's communication when you see what the tail is doing too. So they're that little bit more, or a lot more in some cases, easier to read
Indeed.
Than trying to look at the little bit of what would you call it, the remnant of what they have got at the end of their tail.
Kathy, what happens if you're getting a pup? Of course, you can get the training process going quite early, can't you?
Very much. We're very lucky in Australia and probably around the world, but Australia, there's no reason to not do something with your dog. Like, just literally every vet clinic across Australia runs puppy preschool. So there's your first point of call. If you miss puppy preschool, don't stress. There's heaps of dog training classes. There's heaps of trainers that can come out to your home if you don't want to go to group training. And we're really sport for choice. So it's just more of a case of what suits you and what suits your lifestyle. And so lucky. We're so fortunate. And also, too, we've got to think about methods. That's super important. So certainly along the lines of go for the more happier, positive reinforcement methods. Do your very best to steer away from the harsh techniques. That would be brilliant if you can do so.
I suppose, you know, when it comes down to the behaviour and the training, there has to be some sort of form, I guess, of reprimand. I don't mean being cruel to an animal, but, you know, if a dog is doing something wrong, how do you reprimand in a nice way?
Absolutely, and we have to. We can't actually have all positive, and that's an important point that you make, Alan, because I'm not all for all positive, and certainly definitely not for purely punishment too. So there is a way to do it, and it's without violence, but you can get so much control just in the power of your voice, in the way you hold your body, your stance, and it's just more about preempting when a dog looks like their behaviour is going somewhere where it shouldn't go. So sounding assertive, watching nice and early in the piece. Stop it. You know, following through with that too, because some dogs will go, oh, look, you know, she's just fluffing around with that. Means nothing. True. So you have to have some consistency there. So by being positive, it certainly doesn't mean being permissive. But we've actually got quite a swing on one pendulum where people just use purely positive. I'm not like that. I like to set some boundaries, and we have to. Otherwise, the dogs will walk all over us, especially your nice independent breeds that have got that great thinking brain where they do question when you say to them, come, they'll go, why should I?
Quite true.
So you can't just go, well, let me bribe you with food. That's not quite how I operate. And then the pendulum swings down the other end where, you know, we've got the old fashioned punishment methods. I like to swing in the middle and know what to use for what character. Look at their personality type, because saying to one dog will ignore it. Another one will probably have a coronary. So it's about finding what the happy medium is with each individual, and that's the smart way to go.
So you've got to be cautious all the time. No, so just say I've got a new puppy. He's 2 months old. I've taken control. He's coming to my house, and I'm going to start the training process. I'm going to go to puppy school, and then it's going to continue for a while. Is there a time when you say to yourself, okay, now my dog is 2 years old, it's trained. Do you have to keep on going to training schools or behaviour schools, or can you say enough is enough?
Oh, I love that question. No, you don't have to. Now the way I look at it, some people don't even, and I'm not discrediting this at all, but some people haven't even taken their dog to puppy preschool because they've got family and friends and a big circle of dogs that are safe and they're vaccinated and they interact with those dogs and they've got lots of friends. So some even skip the puppy preschool stage and the dogs turn out quite fine indeed. Some people don't even need to go to dog training. How's that for controversy? Some people do not have to go to dog training classes because they're either very savvy with their dog, they get out and about and socialise with their dog on a regular basis. They know how to do their own training, you know, the basics, the sit, the come, the stay, etc. And their dog has a good temperament. And those people can actually get away with doing any formal dog training at all. I don't personally go to dog training, and this is what I do for a living. I actually work with a lot of behaviour issues.
Sure.
Because my dogs are always in the presence of a lot of dogs, and they're of sound temperament, and they're quite gregarious. They enjoy interacting with other dogs. So for me, it was easy to skip the training. But for anybody who's a new dog owner, they're not too sure whether the problem behaviours can be managed by themselves and they need that little bit of help, that's when it's great to go to training. And you'll find out, everyone's got their own abilities to identify I actually don't need to go training, but I love it, so I'm going to continue to go training. That's where we've got great dog clubs around the country. Yeah. Or I think I've got enough out of it. I've got plenty, and I'm very social with my dog, and they see plenty of other dogs, and I can cease my training now.
Kathy, what do you do with a dog who's been a good dog all of his life, and then suddenly something goes wrong for some reason, and they go off the rails? Can you go through a retraining process?
Yeah, and we've got to look and see why they've gone off the rails, because it's not always behavioural too. Sometimes there's medical issues that can impact behaviour. So if it's something that's really out of the norm, then the first thing that I say to dog owners that call me is, before you even think about booking me, go to your vet and just get them just to do a full physical, perhaps do a blood panel and just check to make sure that everything's fine and the health side of things. And once we've ruled out health and hopefully everything's fine, then we can come into the behaviour side of things. And by and large, it should be okay. But things happen. The environment has an effect to what goes on and the circumstances. So it could be that you've had a dog on its own for ages and, for instance, you brought in a second dog and perhaps things aren't quite panning out very nicely between the both of them. Because after all, we pick our partners, but we don't allow our dogs to pick their partners. We pick them for them, and it's not really a marriage made in heaven some of the time. So that's when behaviour modification certainly can come into consideration. And again, a good eye for dog behaviour, a good eye for knowing what makes dogs tick, and that'll help us address the problem in a strategic way without using violence.
There are lots of dogs that are bred to be racing dogs, and I'm very happy to say that I've seen a lot of people in the community I live in who have rescued these dogs, the dogs who are never going to be champion racers, and so they're put up for adoption. When you get a dog that's been trained to be a racing dog, what about them? How do you make sure that when you adopt one of the greyhounds that, you know, you're going to be doing the right thing and keep them in line?
I often recommend greyhounds to people when they ask me what breed, and I always try and lead them in that direction because they are beautiful natured souls, sure. Fantastic couch companions. And to be honest, we sort of think about there's a bit of a fallacy about how much exercise greyhounds need, and it's only because they get put out onto the race and we think that they need all that exercise. And anybody who's owned a greyhound or knows of someone who does will tell you that it's actually quite on the contrary. They're quite happy to have a stroll around. What one might need to think about, and these dogs aren't aggressive, and that's why I don't agree with the muzzling of greyhounds, but that's another story. I don't see why greyhounds need to be muzzled when we've got other dogs that perhaps, you know, might have a little bit more of a serious need to have their a muzzle to be worn.
Yes.
So I would have you know, a dog like a greyhound who might have quite a strong prey drive, and they don't all have, would be most sensible owners have got their dogs on lead. And that's when we don't really have very much that goes on that's bad, you know, unless somebody who's a dimwit, who lets their dog off lead, comes into these lovely dogs, and whatever, regardless of the breed, you know, a person who's walking their dog on lead, minding their own business, who's quite a distance away from off-lead dogs, and when you've got these off-lead dogs that charge, regardless of their motivation, it does put the person into a bit of a pickle, because that sort of puts their dog into a defensive state, and then you've got the person way out in the distance who is not in any hurry to get their dog, and nor has their dog got good recall, Alan.
Indeed, some great advice there from Kathy Capellas-McLeod, a dog behaviour and training expert. Kathy, been terrific having a chat with you. If folks want to know more about what you're up to, how can they look at your website?
Yeah, sure. It's kathysdogtraining.com.au, and that's K-A-T-H-Y-S. dogtraining.com.au.
Fantastic talking with you, Kathy. Thank you so much for your time today. Good wishes to you, and keep those dogs and also those owners in trade, okay?
Thank you, Alan. Thanks, everyone.